Dat was Teeth. Tanden, zeg maar. Maar dan in het Engels door Stickhead. En dat is een Duitser uit Frankfurt. Die weet toch van de Kotzaak Club. Of de Kotzaak Mensen. Maar dat toch uit 2017. Dus ook alweer een tijdje geleden. Maar voor hem, want die was van de jaren 90, zeg maar 96. Kotzaak. En hoe heet die? Ach, weet ik veel. Zoek het lekker uit. Je kent het al lang of je gaat het nu even opzoeken. Het was Duitsers in een Nederlands hotel die waren nou, in ieder geval een Amerikaanse film met Nederlandse ondertitels aan het lezen. En toen lazen ze Klootzak, maar dat konden ze niet goed onthouden. En toen hebben ze Kotzaak van gemaakt. Kotzaak Records uit Frankfurt toen. Toen de Duitsers de terror overnamen. Daarvoor Honolulu Lulu. Ook met heel mooie, ja, de Furio's zijn twee mannen, twee vrouwen. Dus die konden allemaal mooi harmonisch zingen met hun diep blauwe haren. 1963, en ook trouwens nog de herhaling van Snutstad zat ervoor. Stad, Snutstad. Ja, in ieder geval Smeres staat 1985, Crudity uit Zweden. Je woont in de bosjes en het begint weer te regenen. Je luistert naar Patapoe Action. Het nummer met de fusgitaar van deze keer is een... Ja, hoe zal ik het omschrijven? Het is de Monkees. Die hadden we laatst met... Wat was het? Sweet Young Thing uit 1966. Helemaal experimenteel en een zootje fus erin. Ja, dat is natuurlijk altijd. Want anders is het niet de plaat met fusgitaar. Maar nu is er ook eentje weer van de Monkees. 1968 nu. De melodie is heel beperkt. Het is wel een oorwormachtig lied, maar de hele tijd maar hetzelfde blijft herhalen in de hoop dat het zich dan vastzet in je hersens en dat werkt wel. Er zit fusgitaar in en ook vrij nadrukkelijk, maar ook nog een Spaanse gitaar en dan ook nog gewoon een heel orkest, ook met blazers. En fus is bedoeld om te klinken als koper, zullen we maar zeggen. En als je dan fuzz hebt en blazers, ja, wat heeft het allemaal voor zin? Weet je, doe de driekwart van het orkest weg en zet die fuzz gewoon 2-3 keer zo hard. Dan begint het ergens op te lijken. Maar ja, dat was 1966. Intussen is het dus 1968. En die rete commerciële Monkees, ja, die kiezen de veilige weg. Dus het wordt helemaal ingebed in orkest en gewoon mainstream. Maar toch wel best harde fuzz. Dus ik hoop dat je het toch wil waarderen. Valerie, met dubbel L. Valerie, 1968, The Monkees uit Amerika, Patapoe Action.
Ni be wante na nga yu.
Na wafiri sangu wendo walasi.
Dem tak mi love you.
No wata wano ma love you like
me. Ni be wante na nga yu.
Na wafiri sangu wendo walasi.
Dem tak mi love you.
No wata wano ma love you like me.
Le famille,
le famille,
le famille, le
famille,
le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille, le famille,
le famille, le famille, le famille,
let me love you.
They know what I want to love you.
Hey! Me be one day na nga you.
Now I'm feeling that you don't know what I
see. Let that me love you.
Oh, oh. Now I don't want to love you.
Now I want to love you. Let me love you.
Let me want
you. Hey! Sabi that me love you.
Let me love you.
Let me want you.
Let
me
love you.
Miss up me sicky di you. Miss up me
love you.
Put that in me ki mi no mani friend. Mi ere ye Craig. Mi ere ye Baro. Mi ere ye Sari di you mani kwe. Mi ere ye Craig. Mi ere ye Saro. Mi ere ye Mari di you mani kwe. Mi ere ye Craig. Mi ere ye Baro. Yere ye sari ti yu wani kwe di yu taki yu kwe. Taki yu kwe. Kudi yu taki yu kwe mama. Taki yu kwe. Mino wani yu. Mino wani yu kwe. Sabi fusaide mino wani. Sabi fusaide mino wani. Kwa mi ya papire. Taki swa biro. Singi ti yu minele. Ti yu mine ya ku. Side making you one in way, taki yowe, bring you taki yowe. Fudi mi sabi taki mi ati lobi yo, mele ti mi utape, baku you lobi. Fudi mi sabi yangu fidi mi abida yo, mele ti mi utape, baku you lobi baby, mele ti mi utape oh, mele ti mi utape na 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 na.
Pekuyu Lobby. Fleet en een succesband. Fleet en een succesband. Wel eens eerder gehad. Succesband meestal met Samurai G. Dat. En goed. Pekuyu Lobby. En daarvoor Valerie van de Monkees uit 1968. Met een lekkere fuzzgitaar onder andere. En met allemaal andere muziek ook. Dus. Dat was het. Fleet en daarvoor de Monkees. Dan nu gaan we naar Free Speech for Sale, waar ik nog lang niet alles van heb gedraaid. In 2002, keiharde aanval op de muziekindustrie en de copyright klootzakken door allemaal, na Droplift, dan nu over vrije meningsuiting en commercie. Dus dit zijn eigenlijk allemaal omgewerkte reclames vooral die de heren, vooral heren, experimentele collagisten, geluidcollagisten maakten. Een van die is Reggae Death Squad, die tot mijn grote verbazing een Nederlandse inzending hadden in 2002. Maar ik heb het verder uitgelegd. Hij komt gewoon, het is ook iemand uit Amsterdam, die gaat bij de Hammer Presley. En als Hammer Presley zijn er ook Ace of Spades, maar dan als een soort funkmuziek. Want dan zie je gewoon Motorhead, zie je die clip doen en je ziet ze, je hoort ze ook zingen. En ook de solo is ongeveer, zit in funky, in dat funknummer. Ze hebben dat ook gedaan met eentje van Guns N' Roses, maar ik ken de muziek van Guns N' Roses niet. Maar ook, nou ja goed, dat staat op Vimeo. De ene had 38 views en de andere 32 views. Dus het is niet heel erg aangeslagen. Maar goed, het is jaren later. Dit was 2002, dat andere is 2024. Dus er zit nog geleven in, deze Amsterdammer. Wie weet kunnen we hem opsporen. En wie weet komt hij ook wel gewoon bij Noisvember op bezoek. Wie zal het zeggen? Het is toch een kleine wereld. Maar goed, dit is Gek op McDonald's, uitroepteken. Gek op McDonald's. Reggae Death Squad heet die persoon in dit geval. Dus van Free Speech for Sale 2002. Reggae Death Squad, Gek op McDonald's. Paddepoel Action.
Nu bij McDonald's.
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 Psst. Iedereen gaat nat, dus wees op je hoede. Want bij elk Happy Meal krijg je nu een echt pistool. Handen omhoog.
Deze maand bij McDonald's tekenen een McDonald's. En ik check er dan vooral een Nederlandse thuis. McDonald's daarom niets heel speciaals.
McKroketten hier en daar. McKroketten voor uw lunches.
Lekker. Nu bij McDonald's. Voor de jongens. Vier stoere Action Man figuurtjes. Die echt iedereen aankunnen. Yeah. Oh ja. En vier schattige My Little Pony figuurtjes voor de meisjes.
Gek op Mac. Maak kennis met Ronald McDonald. Het gigagrappige gezicht van McDonald's.
Hallo, wow.
A McCrocket.
Een McCroket?
Yeah, that's what I said. A McCrocket.
Gek op Mac.
Wow!
Oh! Deze maand bij McDonald's. Wow! Oh! Met voor de kleintjes zo'n soepje en kroos. En voor de grote mensen met een soepje en dubbele cheeseburger vloed. Doe maar acht weg.
Hey joh, kijk uit met u.
Het is sorry. En als je zo plat blijft praten, krijg je helemaal niks.
Ik wil ook wel een
als je zo plat blijft praten, krijg je helemaal niks.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Kan jij niet?
Kan ik wel.
Alles wat jij kan doen, kan ik veel beter. Ik kan het allemaal beter dan jij.
You say, what can make me feel? on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I've got the month of May. Well, I guess you will say, what can make me feel this way, my girl? Talking about much loving, all the reason to me, I've got a sweeter song than the birds in the tree.
Ja, dat was het Temptations nummer, of is het geschreven door Smokey Robinson, die het ook heeft geproduceerd. In 1964 toen ook, wereldhit My Girl, deze keer gezongen door Douglas Booth. En geproduceerd door Ossie Hibbert in de Black Ark studio van Lee Perry, die daar de knopjes hanteerde, wordt altijd aangenomen. Of in ieder geval, het ging om het geluid van hoe hij dat deed. Nou goed, in een 1975 versie, die heel anders was dan de 1971 versie. Slim Smith en die Upsetters, dus in het midden die Upsetters met zeg maar het achterkantje, de dub, die van een LP komt overigens. En de single versie uit 1971, Lee Perry, maar dan in een andere studio, want Black Ark bestond toen nog niet. Drie keer Mine Girl, en My Girl hadden we al drie keer gehad trouwens. Met onder andere de achterkant van wat je zojuist hoorde. Hele mooie dub. Maar ja, is al geweest bij Patpoe Action. Zoek die lekker op. Daarvoor nog gek op McDonald's. Reggae Death Squad. Weten we nu uit Amsterdam. Van de verzamel CD Free Speech for Sale. Uit 2002. Nu, je leeft in het nu. En je luistert naar Patpoe Action. We gaan weer wat soort punkmuziek draaien. Dit is een soort van muziek van punkmuziek die je niet zo heel vaak hoort in Nederland of in Amerika. Of misschien heb ik er nooit zo op gelet, maar dat is zeg maar het beetje trieste, heel persoonlijke lied. Ik denk aan de Duitse Artless met Schnulze. Echt, het houdt ook maar niet op en het is zo gevoelig en je voelt hoe verdrietig die is. En of de Zweden Garta 77, een band die ook wel zo uit de hoek kan komen. Nu is het Rhythmus Radicaal uit Pforzheim. We hadden ze laatst maar toen had ik ze in het vakje New Wave experimentele jaren 80 muziek gezet. Nu noem ik ze punk, eigenlijk vanwege de bezetting. Als ze dit met de Rhythmbox en synthesizer hadden gedaan, was het anders geweest. Maar dit is echt gewoon bas, drum, je weet toch, gitaar. Beetje vervorming. Noor Ein Traum, 1981. Rhythmus Radikal uit Pforzheim, Duitsland. Patapoe Action.
Manchmal träum ich nur von dir. Manchmal bist du ganz nah bei mir. Ich kann meine Gefühle für dich nicht vergessen. Denn sie können sich nicht in der Wirklichkeit messen. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Wenn wir uns dann endlich einmal sehen, haben wir Angst, von unseren Gefühlen zu reden. Versuchen wir, die Vergangenheit zu meiden, als könnte sie sich die Zukunft verschreiten. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Es macht uns Spaß, uns zu verletzen. Mit Salz uns gegenseitig aufzuhetzen. Hass und Liebe, so muss es sein. Das kann doch nur die wahre Liebe sein. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum. Hinausgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum. Dabei war alles nur ein Traum, hinaufgeträumt, ohne Sinn und Traum.
Seen off Cuba, the USS Boston gives the first public demonstration of her firepower. Using concealed batteries of Terrier-guided missiles, the ship claims to have the most sophisticated weapon system in existence. She is the first craft to be equipped with such an efficient layout of surface-to-air missiles, which can be used either as a defense against hostile aircraft or as the vanguard of an offensive.
The Water heette dat stukje. Bernard Herrmann heeft het, gecomponeerd. Is uit de film Psycho. In 1996 hebben ze nog eens de hele partituur, inclusief een scène die nooit is gepubliceerd, maar waar wel muziek voor was. Die hele partituur hebben ze nog even uitgespeeld, op een cd gezet. Nou, goed idee. The Water was deze sequentie ergens. Ja, de kenners van de film weten natuurlijk precies hoe dan ook. Dat. En daarvoor Missile Ship. British Movie Tone bracht dat in de bioscopen op 12 april 1956... Een schip met raketten tegen de lucht, maar ook misschien tegen de grond. Of tegen een ander schip. Raketten op een schip, 1956, voor Cuba. In Cuba was intussen wel een soort van burgeroorlog of guerrilla-strijd gaande. Maar toch duurde het nog 31 december 1958 dat Batista opdonderde daar. Maar hoe dan ook, spannend. En dan een beetje een schip daar voor de kust leggen. Dat doet denken aan meer recente gebeurtenissen of dingen die aan de hand zijn. Je bent aan de hand en, oh wacht, ik ben nog niet helemaal klaar. Het begon met Nur ein Traum, 1981, uit Pforzheim, Rhythmus Radikal. Met het gevoelig emotielied. Wat ik toch reken tot tot onderdeel van de punkmuziek uit 1981. Nu dan vlug naar Peru. Delia Huanca, Te Sigo Amando, schuine streep, El Otraves. 2025, Te Sigo Amando, El Otraves, door Delia Huanca, Patapu Action.
Asheville FM 103.3 LPFM in Asheville. This is The Final Straw Radio, a weekly anarchist and anti-authoritarian broadcast and podcast emanating out of occupied Chalagi land in southern Appalachia. We bring you voices and perspectives from
press. And the reason they do this is to comply with public records legislation. So, you know, even though they're government members who are using Signal, they have to circumvent Signal's encryption in some way, and when they choose to abide by that public records legislation. Of course, when they don't want that, when they want to hide their communications from scrutiny, they simply use the normal Signal front end app and invite random editors from the Atlantic into their group chats.
As you do.
As you do. Whomst among us.
Yeah.
So yeah, the lesson here.
Delta Chat is the contingency.
And what is Delta Chat?
So Delta Chat is a application that uses the Chatmail protocol to send encrypted messages via email as a transport layer. The choice of email is really interesting, and we'll get into some of the details about that. But from the user perspective, it's worth like kind of putting that to the side for the moment, because the way most email works is really not applicable to the way that Delta Chat is built on top of this Chatmail protocol.
Obviously, email's been out there for a while, and it's been said like that the proposal here is not for everyone to jump ship on Signal. But yeah, why do you consider Delta Chat to be a nice alternative or a nice like backup plan?
As we've like explored other means of communication for a possible Signal block, all of the like contingency chat apps we've looked at, we've decided have to have some properties. Some of them are like really concrete and easy to say yes or no on. You know, encryption must be provably secure. It must be audited and it must not break. And as kind of a corollary to that, it must be audited, it must be open source so that, you know, audits can occur that are public. The app must be resilient to the types of repression that Signal is vulnerable to. So we're thinking about, you know, what if Signal gets blocked? If the same strategy that's used to block Signal can be used to block our contingency application, then our contingency application is not a great contingency because it can go down very quickly immediately after Signal does. So that one's, you know, a little bit squishier. And then we get to things like being able to onboard people who are already comfortable using Signal and having a really simple user experience. And these things are a little bit harder to determine, but Fanny and I have run some of these applications. And so we're kind of like using our own experience to guide some of our judgment there. So the short answer, I guess, is, you know, DeltaChat has provable audited encryption. It's open source and it's decentralized in a way that Signal is not. And it's really easy to use.
Yeah. So we talked about that weak point that Signal, as one example of an encrypted communications platform, the centralization could be a weak point to it. My understanding too is like that's been like, we know when at least Moxie or probably the foundation afterwards were against the idea that maybe this is getting into weeds that we don't need to, and maybe like a kind of a side conversation, but like you couldn't go into FDroid and download an APK of Signal. They wanted to keep it on the app stores specifically in order to have that sort of certification stamp that this comes from us. This is trackable. Like there's
chain of custody. Yeah.
You mentioned that DeltaChat has a decentralized nature. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like what it takes to host it, what sort of infrastructure there is, what trust there is around a self-hosted instance, I guess if I can call it that, actually being trustworthy?
Yeah, totally. So I can talk about that some. And then Mary, please feel free to chime in at any point. So we have hosted a DeltaChat backend server before. And this is where I think talking about email, the fact that DeltaChat uses email to send messages, despite the fact that those emails are transparent to you, like it literally just feels like WhatsApp when you're using DeltaChat. You don't have to think about the email part in the same way that you don't have to think about the encryption. But so the fact that it uses email is like key to how the decentralization works, because think about like, you know, if person A has a Gmail address and person B has a Yahoo email address and person C has an Outlook email address and they're all in an email chain together, the way that those emails are going around is like Google's mail servers and Yahoo's mail servers and Microsoft's mail servers are all speaking a standardized email protocol to each other. It is decentralized. So DeltaChat was like, okay, everyone wants to have a decentralized chat app. Doing decentralization is hard. What if we actually just chose an already existing super established thing that was decentralized, like email, which is like arguably one of the biggest, most widely used decentralized things. And we just used that to send our messages around. Then we wouldn't have to spend all this engineering effort of our own to figure out how to do decentralization, because the thing we've chosen to send messages already is built to do decentralization effectively. So like that is one way that email is important. And so your question was specifically about how does decentralization work, and also some about running a server and knowing that servers are trustworthy. So maybe if anyone who's a Linux person or like a Linux sysadmin type person knows that, you know, if you're running a Linux server, it's like really, really trivial to install an email server on it and make it send emails. On the other hand, it's really hard to make other email servers accept those emails, but that's like a separate conversation about the email mafia that we won't get into. But so it's trivial to like put an email server on your Linux server. And so what DeltaChat is really, what the DeltaChat backend servers are really, is like a large set of scripts that take a regular Linux server and install a bunch of regular email tools on it, plus a pretty small amount of like Chatmail, DeltaChat specific tools that do the encryption and stuff like that, account management, and turn what is otherwise a regular email, Linux email server, into a like Chatmail. Chatmail is the name of the backend server. I'm sorry, this is probably pretty confusing for someone who isn't thinking about the differentiation between the client DeltaChat and the backend server Chatmail. But so those scripts just turn a regular Linux email server into a DeltaChat specific email server that encrypts everything, can't send out messages that are unencrypted, and is configured specifically to send and receive messages as fast as possible so that there's not lag when you're texting someone. So in terms of how do we know to trust a given backend server, the short answer is you can't. But the longer answer is this is why end-to-end encryption is table stakes for secure communication. So like even if you have downloaded the DeltaChat app on your phone from a trustworthy source, which is very easy to do, then you, even if you have accidentally created an account on a malicious backend server, that malicious backend server can't do anything with the contents of your messages because they're encrypted and the server can't decrypt them. The, you know, hostile entity running the malicious server can't decrypt them. And I mean, this is kind of true for Signal also, right? So the Signal front-end app is built such that it is possible for people to extract the APK or the app that's installed on their phone, take that app and be like, run it through code that Signal has written and prove that the app that is they have been given from the App Store is the same app that is there published on GitHub. You can verify that yourself. This makes it so that we don't have to care whether or not Signal has been quote unquote backdoored on the backend servers, because if it were, you know that you're running an app that is not releasing any data that it shouldn't be to even a malicious backend server.
I mean, is email secure? Longtime listeners to the show might remember that we've done conversations in the past with people that were trying to create and promote easier implementations of PGP, which is an encryption algorithm, I guess, or application for email. Pretty good protection. That's been around for a while, but I have a couple questions about email as a safe communication method. My understanding is that at the beginning of an email message, it includes information, metadata, basically headers that say, okay, here's who's sending this, here's who it's intended for, here's the time that it's been sent, here's the subject of it, here's the size of the message, like this sort of information. Is that a problem with Delta Chat? Like if they're just using email as the method for this communication between the apps? I guess if you could talk a little bit about PGP a little bit, and if this application of PGP, if that's what's running under Delta Chat, could possibly fall to like the e-fail situation.
Yeah. So I love this. I love talking about this. First things first, I guess, email in general is not secure. Even encrypted email applications are subject to a lot of failures because of the plain text transport nature of email. So I'm not going to recommend sending anything in a normal email app, even an encrypted Proton or Tuda or one of these, using those for sensitive communications. And even a lot of security researchers and cryptographers would recommend against using PGP in general, just because it is such a large protocol that tries to do a lot of things. In the case of Delta Chat, there's a pretty strict subset of PGP that is being run inside of Delta Chat. And so you as a user, you don't think about it, you don't touch it. This subset has been audited independently and the encryption stands up. It's the kinds of user failures, things like GPG, which is one of the implementations of the PGP protocol, the kinds of user failures that we see leaking information don't really apply to this strict subset of PGP. So hopefully that answers that part. The metadata question, I've got a lot to say about this, and I think it's really important to talk about, so please interrupt me at any moment. But there is absolutely unencrypted, just plain text metadata that gets sent as part of usage of Delta Chat. And I want to be really clear about that and talk about what that means so that we can threat model around it, because we still recommend using Delta Chat. So the plain text information that gets sent with every message are the email addresses of the message sender and receiver, as well as the time of send. These are unencrypted in transit and also at rest on the backend server of the recipient. So let's talk about like the email addresses, I guess, to begin with. They're not chosen by users. When you sign up for a new Delta Chat profile, your email address is automatically generated on the backend server that you create that profile on. And it is entirely possible to use Delta Chat and have no idea what your email address is. It's a random string of characters. So the threat model we want to think about in terms of this plain text email address situation is that of a state actor or other malicious actor being able to obtain a social graph of users that are communicating with a particular user or a particular backend server, which is theoretically possible through constant monitoring of network traffic or the seizure of a server. A state actor would still need to access an unlocked device in order to start associating real identities with anyone in that social graph. And one of the tools we have to mitigate this social graph risk that is not unique to DeltaChat, it's present in some of the other applications we've considered, is the easy creation of additional profiles and a design that makes the experience of managing multiple profiles very painless. In the zine we wrote, we have instructions for how to best do this to avoid connecting your profiles together. As far as the plain text metadata existing on a server, when someone runs a Chatmail backend server, that metadata is available to the person running it or anyone who has seized it. But there are some great defaults that kind of help mitigate this. So if you have a single device profile, the backend server is instructed to delete messages once they've been received by your device. So if someone seizes that backend server, they can only see the metadata of messages that your device has not yet received. Multi-device profiles are a little different because the backend server doesn't store anything about the devices that are associated with an account. So it's just waiting. It's storing that message for 20 days. And anytime a device authenticates to that backend server, they request all of the undelivered messages and they're sent. And then, you know, once that 20-day period elapses, those messages are deleted. So there is a little bit of risk here with some of that metadata existing for that period of time.
And so just to clarify again, like when you're referring to multi-device, it's like the difference between if you have only one device connected to a DeltaChat and you're communicating, then once those are received by that one device, the server knows to delete those off of the server immediately. But if you've got it installed on, say, like one phone and, you know, four computers or something like that, then it holds it for 20 days. And after 20 days is up, then it deletes those, whether or not all the devices have checked, have like downloaded the contents of those undelivered messages, right?
That's right. That like multi-device thing, like from the perspective of the backend server, that's just a yes or no, basically, because that backend server, like I said, has no information associated with the device IDs or anything related to like someone's phone or computer or anything. It's just a flag that gets set. So if it's a single device account, the flag says, you know, once something has requested these messages, delete them. So, yeah.
Like, just to go back with the PGP discussion, one thing that I caught was a reference to like user error. And as I understand, like, that's a lot of the possibility for failure with PGP is user error or implementation. And sorry if you said this already, there's a lot of information in there, but how does DeltaChat deal with that possibility of user error with the PGP or the app itself not implementing that correctly?
Yeah, thanks. The encryption that's used by DeltaChat is a subset of PGP that is running. Fanny mentioned all of the scripting that this whole project is a bunch of standard tools that are used by various Linux servers. And so it is a subset of PGP that is running inside of DeltaChat that does not offer any ability for the user to change how that encryption is being handled. All of the, you know, the public key exchange is happening via QR codes or links that are similar to magic links. And so there's really nowhere for a user to mess with those defaults. And this subset of PGP has been implemented here, it has also been audited independently and survived multiple audits.
And if you don't mind, Mary, maybe I'll expand a little bit on like the meta around this. Like, this is This choice to use PGP but remove all user input from the use of PGP is reflective of, and I want to be clear, I'm speaking not as a cryptographer here. I am not a cryptographer. I am trying to make a best effort to summarize what has happened within cryptography with regard to this specific question. Is like the difference between, you know, this version of PGP, the subset of PGP that DeltaChat uses, and the version of GPG that some of us have used to manually encrypt our own emails in the past, reflects this change in cryptographers' attitudes about how to do cryptography safely. GPG is like a Swiss Army knife that lets you choose your keys and make different kinds of keys. And, oh, I want to make it weaker, so I'm going to do this. Or, oh, I want to make it stronger, so I'm going to give it this flag. And fast forward to today, because that program is pretty old and started a long time ago, cryptographers now are like, you got to get rid of the user input. Users make mistakes. You need to have these really trim, you know, encryption tools that only have secure defaults. And there is no way to tell it to behave in an insecure way. And so this subset of PGP, which is, I want to be clear, like it is not GPG. It is a different program. I'm pretty sure it's written in Rust that only does the specific part of PGP that DeltaChat needs. And it just generates keys and it does encryption and it does not accept user input to do that.